Hey there, Michael Griffiths here, founder of Referral Marketing Guru. Thanks for joining us on our Get More Referrals Today podcast, or if you're watching us across any of our social platforms or on Referral Marketing TV on YouTube. Really excited for today. And those that have been around us over the last little bit know my passion around human behavior, human psychology, triggering brain chemicals. In fact, we ran a conference on it just the other week, just on those things. And who happens to pop into our world? Someone who's actually an expert on this. So that makes me really excited to be able to learn more. It absolutely fascinates me how we can lead, influence for the better, never for the worse, when you can trigger various chemicals in people's brains. We are all emotional beings, whether we want to be or not. And this is really just next level type of things that you can have prospects becoming clients much faster. You can have clients wanting to stay with you longer, and you can do great things around your team when you understand some of these things. So that's what we're going to get into today. I have retired professor Loretta, who is with me. And as I said, that is what Loretta absolutely specializes, is the expert in and helps people to understand. Loretta, thank you so much for joining us from, I know it's a Sunday evening over there in Northern California, outside of Oakland. So I really appreciate you staying up and jumping on the call with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Absolute pleasure. So start us off. Most people would not have seen you, heard from you, know much about you. So just fill us in and give us a quick couple of minutes of your background, your story, and let us understand that.
Sure. Well, I was a professor of management for 25 years, and I took early retirement, you could say partly because 25 years is long enough to do something. But I was frustrated that my students were not very motivated. And so I decided that I was going to start over and not let the social science model control my thinking and look into the roots of human motivation for myself. And I got really interested in the research on the animal brain. And I really like what you said about how we're all emotional beings, and that emotional brain, it's all chemicals, which is the GPS, the operating system of an animal. And then we have our verbal brain stuck on top, but our verbal brain is not on speaking terms with our animal brain because the animal brain can't process language. So that's why people are so unaware of what their chemicals are doing. And I got really excited about that. And I think people didn't want to hear me give them long lectures all the time, so I started writing books about it. And I really wanted to just write what I believed and not worry about what would sell. Because I was retired, I could do that.
Yeah, fantastic. It is absolutely fascinating. And as our Partnership Club tribe know, I've gone down plenty of rabbit holes over the last 9-10 weeks learning this, with hundreds, like 600-700 YouTube videos that's led me to books, that have led me to courses, that this is just absolutely fascinating to me. And as a business owner, it is just so powerful to be able to have these things up our sleeve, just really easy, simple things that we could be doing, which we're going to get into, that just it's next level to me compared to what most people know and understand. So let's start off with some at the bottom level and the basics. What are brain chemicals? Give us the 3-4 main ones and what they actually do. And let's start off there, as if we've got people who know absolutely nothing at all.
Sure. So I talk about the happy chemicals versus the unhappy chemicals. And I write about 4 particular happy chemicals: dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, and endorphin. So they evolve to reward you for specific survival behaviors. They're not designed to flow all the time for no reason, which is a terrible misconception that the current model is promoting. And they reward behaviors that we would not think of consciously. But when you understand the animal world, animals are very competitive. And when they get ahead, it spreads their genes. and natural selection built a brain that rewards you with a good feeling when you take action that spreads your genes. Now, in the modern world, we're not just trying to spread our genes, but when we take action that promotes our own self-interest, that stimulates those happy chemicals. Yeah. So if you want, I could explain the different job of each of them.
Yes, please. Let's go into that so we've got a nice basis.
Sure. So dopamine is the expectation of reward. So our ancestors didn't have a refrigerator to get food, so they had to constantly look for the next thing to eat. And that's why dopamine excites you when you see something that you say, that can meet my needs and I can get it. So you need both of those perceptions to get the excitement of dopamine. And then once you get that thing you seek, the dopamine stops because it's not designed to be on all the time. It was designed to motivate our ancestors to look for food again and again and again. So oxytocin is the good feeling of social trust, not the intellectualized, like what I should think and feel, but when an animal is with its herd, then it can let down its guard and it feels protected from predators. But animals are not protected because they're like, oh, I'll die for you. No, they push to be in the center of the herd so someone else gets eaten. And that's just that feeling of, I am safe because I'm in a crowd. Now, we humans know that it's not always safe to follow the herd. So we can learn from bigger-brained animals like monkeys rather than herd animals. Monkeys groom each other's fur, and that stimulates their oxytocin as opposed to just being in a herd. And that's the reciprocal one-to-one trust, like I'll do something for you and you do something for me, and that stimulates oxytocin. So we're always looking for that, and it's not that easy to find because, let's say, if you groom someone's fur and they don't groom you back or they don't protect you when a lion attacks, then you get a bad feeling that interferes with your oxytocin circuit, and then you don't feel trust for them anymore. So the next chemical, serotonin, people have probably heard a lot about this in the context of antidepressants. And what you don't hear in today's world is that serotonin rewards an animal for gaining the one-up position. Now, no one consciously admits that they seek the one-up position, no less that they feel good about it, but it's so easy to see that that's how people are, and it's so easy to see in monkeys. So what shocked me when I started studying this is that animals are very hierarchical. They have hierarchies, and they invest all their energy into getting to the next level. And once they do get to the next level, they get mating opportunity. And it all depends on getting to the next level. And that's natural selection. So serotonin is not aggression, but it's a calm feeling that calms the dominant individual because they are able to access, they're able to act on their impulses, do what they need, and be safe despite competition.
Yeah, fantastic. And those that are listening and around us, and if we take some of these thoughts or processes and you go, why do people want to pass you referrals? Why do people want to be in your network? Why do people want to do business with you? And you can start to see that there's a lot of this, that if you can do a great job around building trust, around bonding, around how you make someone else feel, then all of a sudden, they're going to want to help you more. They're going to remember you more. They're going to talk about you more. So straight away, there is just so much good use in what Loretta's going through, just in just that little piece. And the big difference is for most people, especially if they're a good people person, they probably just do this naturally. But imagine that you actually now consciously know why something is happening, that you can then use it to even more of an advantage and now have a conscious plan in place rather than just do it without really knowing what's taking place. Yeah, it's fascinating. Okay,
yes. Great. And I might just add, if you think you're not a good people person, that you could also use that to your advantage, because you know that what a person is really looking for is trust. And authentic trust is more appealing than fake trust. And so if you are offering real trust, you can have the confidence in that.
Yeah, love it. Fantastic. So let's take the things that you've just spoken about there. And if there were sort of two or three things that as you went down sort of this rabbit hole of this path and this study and started writing about it, that just it sort of just amazed you. What would two or three of those things be? It might be hard just to find two or three of those things these days, but what sort of has stood out in your journey here of the path you've gone down and what you've been finding that you can share with us?
Well, first, I already mentioned that mammals are very hierarchical and they compete over status, and they compete to be in the dominant position. And then when they are, they may not even want the resource, but it's just getting the dominant position. It's like money in the bank for an animal, because they can't have money in the bank. But if they're in the dominant position, then they know that they're going to be first in line on some future date. So it's like, oh my gosh, so that's where people get this. And one thing about it is we drive ourselves crazy more than necessary when you know it's just your mammal brain creating this competitiveness. Then if you're overdoing it, then you could just tell yourself it's not real, it's just chemicals. The chemicals are controlled by old pathways. Whatever triggered your serotonin when you were young built the pathway that triggers it today until you build a new pathway. So we don't have to drive ourselves crazy over competitiveness. We can decide when we're going to focus on it and when we're not going to focus on it.
Yeah, nice. Let's take it from, so a few weeks ago when we were, our partnership club tribe were together, I got them to simply find 10 people in their network and send them a simple little message. Hope you have an amazing day. What does that do when we do something just as simple? We're not expecting a response back. We don't need a response back, but we're just simply making other people around us feel good. Talk to me a little bit about that and what's actually happening and what chemicals being created and what then flow-on effect does that end up having for people?
Well, so we're all born with billions of neurons, but almost no connections between them. So our neural pathways get built from experience. So we're all born helpless, and humans are helpless far longer than animals. Animals grow up overnight, but humans, like the whole foundation of your brain is built when you're a helpless child. So we all have that sort of core insecurity. So that's why we all like attention. Because when you're a child, attention is like a life or death thing. Like a baby really would die if it didn't keep reminding you of its needs, you know. So people do like attention, but part of the trust is like over time you have to feel that it's authentic attention. You know, if you feel like someone is courting you in an inauthentic way, or if it's happened to you in the past. So the other thing is, are threat chemicals. In the past, if your trust was betrayed, then cortisol is released. Cortisol is the stress chemical, builds a huge circuit that tells you, don't trust in this situation. So our brain is designed to not touch a hot stove twice. So once you touch a hot stove, anytime you see anything like it, your cortisol turns on, and that's your natural alarm system. So that's why people have legitimate reasons for not trusting us, because they've been burned in the past, and it's important to help them learn that you're trustworthy. That's really asking them to build a new oxytocin circuit, and that doesn't build easily in adulthood. So it takes time, it takes repetition, it takes, I think, some authenticity.
Yeah, fantastic. From what you've gone through, what you've written, a lot of other people who are watching us today are coaches, consultants, professional service type businesses. How could they be using aspects of triggering brain chemicals and the brain chemicals, whether it's for themselves or their clients or their staff team around them? What are some of the things that they could be starting to understand and learn that they could probably start using sooner rather than later?
So the idea that the good feeling of dopamine is what makes you feel like your effort is worthwhile. So if you were like, if a lion ran after everything, it would starve to death. So a lion is always making careful decisions about what it runs after because it needs its full 100% investment in order to actually catch something. So it has to let some things go in order to wait for the right target. When you see the right target, that turns on your dopamine. You feel good, you feel motivated, and it also releases your reserve tank of energy. So the problem is that our lives have a certain amount of repetition, and the lion gets excited because it's hungry. But when we're not hungry, it's hard to get motivated. And that's why sometimes we try to motivate ourselves with pie in the sky, with grandiose dreams. And then after a while, you get frustrated because your brain only gives you the dopamine if it sees that you're getting closer to the top of the mountain. If you're not getting closer to the top of the mountain, doesn't give you dopamine. So what I always tell people is divide your goals into small steps and take small steps often, and you'll get a little bit of dopamine all the time. So you could get a little bit of dopamine before lunch with a 10-minute step that you've been putting off. And you hate to start it, but after 10 minutes, you'll feel great. So when you understand your dopamine, that's a useful trick.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. But for people who have pretty much come across you for the first time, how do you help people?
Well, I'm not a clinician, so I write books. I have a Facebook discussion group, a lot of social media. I create a lot of resources now for people who don't like to read, videos, animation, things like that. And frankly, I'm disappointed that you say you've read hundreds of books and videos and haven't run across my stuff. Or maybe you did and didn't know it was me. I don't know.
I put the pieces together, quite possibly.
Well, anyway, I will send you a link to my video and to my books, etc. But I've created the Inner Mammal Institute, and some people write to me, and I'm pleased to discuss with people. But I don't do like one-to-one services. I mean, I do officially, but I do it very little.
Yeah, fantastic. And wherever you are watching this, you'll see in the links below where you can go and join the Facebook group and see where those resources are. So make sure you click on the links below on this page and you can get your hands on plenty of more great resources. So it's a real fascinating topic that can give our coaches, our consultants, our professional service business owners a real leg up over what most of the other people are doing when you start to understand the way we think, how we are as emotional beings. And as I said, whether we like it or not, we actually all make decisions based on emotions. You're not making it based on logic. You might think you are, but you're not. You might justify it logically, but the decision you made was all based on emotion. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So therefore, if you can, I said it to our guys, you can only use it ever for good. But it is just quite powerful what you've got the ability to be able to do. And it really, when being used for good, is not only going to make yourself feel better and trigger the chemicals within yourself, you're also going to make everyone around you feel much better at the same time. And I just think that's a fantastic...
I say one thing because people may think, well, what good is our logical human brain if we don't use it to make decisions? So can I say something about how the two brains work
Please.
Together? Because that's the secret to being human, is we have two brains because we need both. And instead of them being at war with each other, we have to teach them to work together. So the human brain, the human cortex, the part of the brain that no animal has, is this huge cortex that we have. But that is not directly connected to your body. In between, you have this limbic system, which is things people have heard of, like the amygdala, hippocampus, hypothalamus. So that's between your human cortex and your spine. So that's like the intermediate, like you have to go through your animal brain to get from your human brain to your body. So anytime you take action, it's because your human brain has and your animal brain have worked together. Now, the human brain is the only part that could use language. So I call it your internal public relations agency, because it's always spinning things to try to make you look good and feel good about yourself. But it's not really the full story, because it's filtering things to make you look good. So what is the full story? Well, like as we said, that people feel good about self-interested impulses that they're not supposed to admit. So what else does the human brain do? It has the power to step on the brakes. So when your animal brain wants to do something, your human brain can say, whoa, that's not going to work out, because the human brain can anticipate the future. But then it can't come to a decision, just as you said. You probably read Gut Feelings, that book. I don't know. So the human brain can say, plan A is not going to work. Let's look for a plan B. But then you can't implement plan B until you persuade your animal brain with plan B. Or maybe it'll take a plan C. So that's sort of the job of the human brain.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely. I said it just, I could go on for hours and hours, but I'm going to get people to join your Facebook group to grab the resources. I really encourage you to learn more around this. As I said, I think it's absolutely fascinating that it's a piece of the puzzle that for most business owners, they don't give enough thought to, and it could really be a great advantage when you understand human behavior, human thinking from just so many different levels, from a sales level to a marketing level to a relationship level to so many different levels that this is beneficial on. So make sure you grab the resources. Make sure if you've got a question, you reach out to Loretta. And Loretta, thank you so much for staying up and for joining us. It's been fascinating, and I'm certainly looking forward to being able to follow and do more of the things that you've got online.
Great, thanks. And I just want to mention that Facebook is a very small part of what I do. I just mentioned that because you asked me how I interact with people directly. But my website has lots and lots of other resources.
Perfect. And as I said, that link will be below on the page. So make sure you click on all the links, find out more, get yourself better educated, reach out to Loretta if you've got any questions whatsoever. Otherwise, it's been great having you on Get More Referrals Today podcast. Again, whether you're watching this through iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or any of the social networks, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for joining us. And we'll catch you again next week. Thank you, Loretta, for joining us.
You're welcome. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.